I'm thankful to be with you this morning in the fall weather time here. And we want to talk about, with the help of the Lord, priority. And we know that God, I probably should put that on there. Number one, God. And that includes, the Godhead, Jesus. God. Number one's priority is God. That's what we want to do. We want to put God first. Priority means something that is more important than other things and that needs to be done or dealt with first. Priority is the condition of being earlier in time or order, or the right to take precedence over others. Top priority, caring about this first. Precedence, especially established by order of importance or urgency. An established right to precedence, an authoritative rating that establishes such precedence. And we want to bring out some other things, but we want to turn to Psalms 5 and 3 to start with. But, you know, in life, we put God priority, and then we have other things to do. It seems like every day there's some things that take the list first, you know. I've learned that if we put God first and read and pray and have our worship to God, and not very long ago the Lord had given me a message about our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How he should be worshipped and praised. And it would be good for us when we read and pray to worship him and thank him and sing songs to him, you know, and just really worship him that way. And hallowed be thy name. He's holy. He's worthy to be praised. And so Psalms 5 and 3 says here, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. The Lord wants us to look up to the Lord and pray every morning. At noon and night too, anytime you want to after that. But make sure that when you get up in the morning, you don't rush off and do all these other things in the world, things, cares of life, and we don't read and pray. You must pray. That's the Christian's life, to read and pray. His priority is God, always God. Then it's okay. The Lord gave us work to do. He wants us to work. He wants us to be busy. I believe he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to be active. He wants us to keep our priorities straight, though. And there's some things I found out in life that sometimes maybe you're asked to do something on a certain day now. I won't go into detail, but say, you know, you're asked to go something and you would like to go to it. It's a nice dinner or something you're invited to. But then something comes up that day that's more priority. Like happened to me. I have a little great-granddaughter that was born. I have three little great-granddaughters now. She's the third one. Her name was Ivy Jo. Well, this day I was invited to something else, but the family said, this day is the best day to come see Ivy Jo. We want you to come to Tulsa to see Ivy Jo. Well, what do you think took priority? My great-granddaughter, right? And I've seen a picture of her now that she's about 2 weeks old, and she's changed so much. If you don't see them pretty soon when they're first newborn, that newborn look kind of, you know what I'm trying to say? They grow so fast. And so I'm so glad that I spent that time with her, and it all turned out wonderful, too, that Jody and Paul, I got to see all of them in Tulsa, and Tammy, and got to see all most family that was in town. So I just thank the Lord that he worked all that out. It was a beautiful day. But I had to send my priority. You know what I'm trying to say? I know this happens in your life, that maybe sometimes you have two or three choices that day, or two things that's very important, and you like to attend to both of them. But the priority, you have to decide. What is the priority? And above all is God. He's priority. He's now, I was telling about going on this trip now. My husband is priority. He's my husband. If he says, he would never do that because he wants me to obey the Lord. But if he would say, I need you, or I'm sick, or you have to be home with me, well, then he would have to be priority, right? But if he says it's okay and you can go and you're not going to be gone long, then I consider all these things and the Lord sends me and I have somebody with me, then it's okay. But you have to put your priority in place. Sometimes your children are priorities. Sometimes they need something. They need, now I've got some grandchildren that are going to be coming in town pretty soon, for Lord willing, for Thanksgiving. Well, you know what? They're going to be my priority. It's being with them as much as I can, because I'm not going to take that time to go take a little trip somewhere out of town. You know, I don't want to do that. I want to be with my grandchildren. They're coming from another state. You know what I'm trying to say? But God is our priority. He's number one. We have to have God to help us with all these other things. Because you know what? We do a better job in our relationships when we spend time with God. And I wrote down this, it says, relationships are a significant part of our lives, and they can greatly influence our spiritual journey. But by having God first as our priority, we invite God and His love and His forgiveness and understanding to one another. And that way, our relationships can flourish when we put God first. The reason people in the world end up maybe in divorce and things, because they don't put God first. And then they let their carnality take over, and they let bitterness and hatred take over, and that person that they fell in love with years down the road, they don't love them anymore. They don't want to see their face anymore. They say awful things about them. I've heard this. It's terrible. But it's because the devil took over them. But if they'd put God first, God would give them the spirit of love. He would keep that love growing. He would keep the forgiveness going. He would keep bitterness out of their hearts. But the devil is always against us. But God is always for us. So it says here, you know what this psalm was about, was David. David was coming to the Lord, and David was always praying for help because of his enemies. And he said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. That's Psalms 4. And, you know, he was needing the Lord so much. And, you know, we have enemies too. If it's in people, we have, the enemy is the devil. He's after us. We have an enemy, and we have to go to God and say, Lord, I need your help this morning. I don't know what's going to come up today. I don't know. No, I'll just give you a little example that one day I pulled out in front of this car, but I thought I had plenty of time. I did have time, of course. But I thought, well, maybe I sped up real good to get out of that person's way, you know. But I thought maybe that person might not have liked it, you know. Did you ever cross your mind like that? Maybe I should have just waited a little longer. Well, I don't think they did like it, because they pulled up beside of me. And somehow the Lord warned me, just don't look at them. Just don't look at them. I don't know why, but the Lord told me, just don't look at them. Because I don't think they were happy with me. I don't know what they would have said to me or done with me. But anyway, they went on their way. And so sometimes we have enemies. But you know, God will watch over us. And we don't mean to get in anybody's nerves, but I've noticed in the driving that people are just racing here and there, and their nerves are on edge. And I'm not saying everybody, but we need to be careful on the road, because we're living in a different kind of world. People, they get angry easily on silly things. But so we ask the Lord to help us, God. And David was crying to the Lord, hear me when I call you, Lord, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And like we read, my voice, David said, thou shalt hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Was he making a promise to the Lord? Kind of. He was saying, you're going to hear my voice in the morning. Could we each one of say that? Lord willing, Lord, if I live another day, I'll be praying to you today all day, night too. But in the morning when I wake up, you're going to hear my voice, and I'm going to say something to you. And people say, oh, but we're in a hurry this morning. We got to get out the door. Well, you can still pray. You can, while you're doing your work to get out the door, you can pray. You can always pray in your heart. You can pray when you're getting ready. You can pray when you're driving. You can pray. There's no excuse to be in such a hurry to do things that we don't pray. Put God priority. And in your life, ask the Lord to give you wisdom. What is priority today? And sometimes, you know, it could be your wife's birthday. Well, then that would take priority. If you go leaving her that day and go do something else, she might not be very happy. So that's your priority, or your husband's birthday, but our priority. So, you know, Matthew Henry said, you know, I like to use the Matthew Henry commentary, and I had never done this, but I looked up on the phone, and I actually seen a picture of him. It was just really quite interesting, and I had never really found out what year he was born and died. He was born in 1662 and died in 1714, and I figured out the time there. He lived 52 years old when he died, and it brought a real awakening to me, because I had just turned 72, and I thought, I have already lived 20 years past this man, and he wrote a whole commentary. You know, I just felt like, I want to be more challenged. I mean, I just feel like, what have I done, Lord? What have I done? I've tried to do what you want me to do, but I can do better, you know? And so anyway, but I'm just saying, this man, and I forgot who the man was. It might have been Henry Wycliffe or something. But anyway, there was a real spiritual man that when he died, the year he died, the very day he died, I think it was, he was born, and this man read all his commentary. He loved Matthew Henry. He read, like, from the beginning, just, you know, it's a quite thick book, so I got 5 books. It's just 5. It's the Bible, but it's all this, he read it because he loved it so much. He read it all. I thought, oh, that's a challenge to just take one of those books at a time and try to read from the beginning to the end. Do you know we miss something when we don't read good books besides the Bible? And the Bible's the best book. But this is the Bible, and then he explains some things along with it. But, I mean, this is what Matthew Henry said. I am always best when I am alone with God. I am always best when alone. No place is like it than in my own study. No, I'll read exactly how he wrote it in his diary. I am always best when alone. No place is like my own study. No company like good books, especially the book of God. He wrote that in his diary. Isn't that sweet? I am always best when alone. No place is like my own study. No company like good books, especially the book of God. So over 300 years ago, this man passed away. Over 300 years ago. That's a long time. But you know what? It makes me wake up and realize all these good people that's lived and gone, they're in eternity. And we too will be there someday. But these people had their span of life. They had their part of life. And now we have ours. And God is still with us. And, you know, it's just amazing how you can learn. And I'm telling you what, we have something so great. I know if they give the phone down the road about a lot of bad things on the phone. But, you know, Christians don't go after those bad things. If anything bad comes up, we turn that off. That's a real Christian. They turn that off. They don't want no bad things. But you can use the phone to look up these people and find out a lot of information and see their picture. I love that part. You can use, I know Brother Daryl Johnson, you know our minister, Brother Daryl Johnson. He says, don't you use the phone to help you with your messages? You know, I do, looking up things. He goes, it's really wonderful how you can look up people and look up the years they were born, years they died, information about them. So we use it in the right way. It can be a real blessing. By having God first as our priority, we invite God and His love and His forgiveness and understanding to one another. And our relationships can flourish when we put God first. Now, we'd like to read about a little bit about Jesus. You know, Jesus, He always took time to pray, and He withdrew Himself. And if our Savior, Jesus, had to do that, we sure need to do it. And I'm saying, we're going to be all better Christians the more we pray. And don't look at it like a job that I have to do it, but want to do it. Want to talk to the Lord. Because, you know, He's always listened to us. And He's a comfort to us, like the sister sung that song. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And, you know, this trip is coming up. I'm a little apprehensive stuff. And somebody warned me that, you know, the airports aren't so good right now. You know, trying to warn me about that. My thought, it's a little bit too late. I'm going to go. And I already got my ticket. A little bit too late to warn me. Good thing He didn't warn me before, because I think God wants me to go. But, you know, I just get thinking these thoughts, and then the Lord says, didn't I got to take care of you? Because I told you to go, I'm going to take care of you. And I don't know a lot of people real well there, but I'm going in the name of the Lord, and we're going to be blessed. I'm going to believe it. It wasn't something I made up. I believe God's leading us. So I believe God's going to take care of us. His eye is on the sparrow. He will take care of us. And you know, Jesus, in the 5th chapter of St. Luke, it says in the 16th verse, He says, there was great multitudes in 15. So much the more went there, a fame abroad of Him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of Him by their infirmities. Now look, you take yourself and go around. So example, let's say Monarch. Say you're at Monarch. How many people's at Monarch? 1,000 people sometimes? Maybe 500, 600 people? But you're around all these people. And you love to see people. And you love to see the saints. But isn't there some time that you want to get away by yourself? That's a healing time. You go by yourself, and that's what Jesus did. He couldn't take, example what I'm saying in the flesh, He couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't, it's okay to say that, but He couldn't take it anymore. That was so funny. But He had to get away, and He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. Not only were they crowding around Him, but He had to take time and pray for them and lay hands on them. And, you know, He had a lot of work to do. He was working. He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. And lots of scriptures, they said, there were several, if I get them all, but in mentioning about Jesus, I'll go some more on that. But Matthew 6:6 says, go to your closet. How many have a closet? Now, at one time, Jerry and I was going through some hard times in our business. We had a big closet, and He went in that closet. He literally went in that closet and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the girls talk about it today. Daddy, remember when He went in that closet? And He came out with victory. And so they never forgot that. Children watch you, you know. They watch what you do. But some people, it's not a closet. Some people go out in the yard. Maybe they have a favorite tree. They're all by themselves. They pray by that tree. Or some people go some other place in the house, like a special study, like this Matthew Henry sound like he went there. And they shut the doors and they're by themselves. You know, wherever your special place is with God, go to that closet and spend some time with the Lord. And when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. St. Matthew 6:6. And when thou hast shut the door. And you know, it's not always just shutting that door, but shutting the world out. Shut the door. You know, you started praying and the thought comes to you. You know, you need to be in there cooking some spaghetti. You know you like spaghetti. Let me get in there and get that done. And you say, oh, come come on. And I want to think about this. I think women might have more of a trouble with it because my husband can go to sleep so easy, but my mind's going and going and going and going. What I'm going to do tomorrow, what I got to do now. And I have to ask God to help me. It don't always happen that way, but it did last night. But I feel so energy, though, the Lord's helped me. But anyway, you have to shut that out and think, I want to spend time with God. I want to pray. He's my priority. These things will, you know, I'll get to these things, but He's priority number one right now. Shut the door and pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, like saints, I'm telling you what, you can't fool people. You can't fool people. You don't have to go around and tell people, I've been in my closet. I've been praying. I've been a good person. Because you can't fool people if you don't go to your closet and you don't pray. Then your people will see. See? Come on. But God said, if you pray in your closet, I'll reward you openly. Because He's seeing this in secret. He'll reward you spiritually. He'll reward you with victory. And the next trial that comes along, whoo, you won't fail it. You won't fly mad at you. My mom is really cute. She has certain sayings. My mother, she taught me one day, she goes, most of the time my mom hardly ever got mad. I'm telling you, my mom was a real sweet person. But sometimes it aggravated her enough. She says, Marcia, I just flew mad. I got mad. She says, people fly mad. That's what her saying, fly mad. You don't have to fly mad. The Lord can give you grace. But you know what? Maybe you haven't been in the closet enough. Maybe we haven't prayed enough. Because, you know, then the Lord can give you grace and go, whoo, I went through that trial. Didn't fly mad. I didn't get upset. I just let it go. It's like water off a duck's back. That's just old saying, water off a duck's back. Didn't faze me. And I don't know. I think we need to care about some things. But there's some things we don't need to let them bother us. That's right. There's some things we don't need to bother us. We're going through this journey of life. And one thing we don't need to bother is the past. Because the past is over. We can't change it. We can rehearse it. Or you know, sometimes women have more problem with this, I think, than men do. I don't know for sure. But it come back in your mind what happened years ago, you know. And you have to rebuke the devil. Flush it. Yeah, get that off your mind. Don't want to talk about that no more. They make jokes about this, but it's really, really true that women, they don't forget anything hardly that the man does. And it's terrible because the men don't want to hear it no more. Don't make me laugh too hard. I don't mean to be so funny here, you know, but you're just like family to me. I love you so much. But I'm just telling you, it's really true though, isn't it? The better that we let the past go, and we want to work on that, let it go, and we can't worry too much in the future. The devil will have you so discouraged thinking about, I remember people say, well, wonder when I'm going to die. We don't know. We don't know we're going to die, so why worry? Don't worry about it. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. And some people, as they get older, that's all they want to talk about is when they're going to die. Well, you know, okay, it's okay to a certain point. But listen, we've got to enjoy our life all the way. And the enemy, he tells me that too. He says, you're 72. You know, you're past the 70. When you're going to die? You know what? I'm going to die when Jesus wants me to. Not till then. And till then, I'm going to occupy till He comes. I'm going to occupy. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to keep busy. I'm going to do all my enjoyment in my life that's legal, and I'm going to pray and read and do everything, gospel work, and do what He wants me to do. I'm going to enjoy my life, and it'll be the perfect time when the Lord comes after me. I'm not going to worry about it. So we don't need to worry about the past, we don't need to worry about the future, and be in the moment. Now, my girls, I'm sorry to say this, but sometimes we're out to lunch or something, and Mama's mind's going on something, and they look right at me, Mama, you're not in the moment. And they know every single time. I take that after my daddy's. My daddy, I tried to talk to him, and it's like his mind was somewhere else. Like, where are you at, Dad? Come here. Talk to me. You know, look at me. I mean, people make eye contact. You got to do it with your husband and wife sometimes, too. Get right, look in their eyeballs. Make sure they hear you and understand what you're saying. So all about this, but that's, we got to be in the moment. What I'm trying to say, if you go out to lunch with somebody, keep thinking about them. Don't be thinking about what you're going to do when you go home, or, oh, about 2 hours from now, I'm going to go to my favorite store and shop. Well, you're not there yet. You're at lunch with this person. Listen to them. Be friends with them. Be in the moment. So I'm working on that because the girls tell me that. So, Mama, I'm not in the moment. And I know every time I got to draw my mind back in and be in the moment. And Jesus wants us to be that way too when we pray. You know, we can start praying and our mind goes off on something else. And say, Lord, forgive me. I got to get right back here in the moment and pray with you. You're priority to me. That's how we make people feel that they're priority. Now, just like of all you, so I was up here preaching, and y'all just, what if y'all just turned your back or got up and walked out? That'd be awful, wouldn't it, for me? It'd be helpful for me, because I think they don't want to hear me, because they're not listening, they're not even looking at me. Now, I remember this one preacher says, people go to sleep. And sometime you're preaching, you see someone going to sleep. I said, don't say, wake up over there. Just keep on preaching. Don't get discouraged. This one preacher, he says, I don't, you know what I say? I said, it's not the message. It's not me. It's so hot in here. Open these windows to get these poor people some air. But the man, what the preacher was trying to say, he's trying to keep himself encouraged. You know, says, they're not going to sleep because the message is not a good message. It's because they're just tired, or it's, you know, afternoon service or something at Monarch or something, or they're not getting enough air. But anyway, but keep yourself encouraged. Keep working for the Lord. Keep encouraged. And keep your priority straight. I praise God. Help me, Lord. Keep my priority straight. Now, over here I want to read just a little bit more of St. Matthew 14 and 13. If Jesus had to go pray, we need to pray. 14 and 13 says, and Jesus heard of it. He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And what says, it was precious about Jesus. But they never let the man get some peace hardly. Because as soon as he started to go somewhere, they started following him again. I mean, just think, how would you like that? You know, hundreds of people following you around all the time. He had to get away and have some peace and quiet. And he said, so he went to a desert place to pray. And they followed him there. They followed him foot out of the cities. They followed him everywhere. But he just kept going to these places to pray. And that's how he got the victory. And so, and 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. That's 23 of 14 of Matthew. And when evening was come, he was there alone. You know, he went and got help and strength, and then he went back out to the battle. He went and got the strength from his Heavenly Father. If you ever get tired of being anything, if you get tired of whatever, maybe you're tired of your job, or maybe you get tired of doing the same thing. That's like I mentioned, I am not tired of washing dishes. I don't like it all the time, but I'm not going to be tired of it, because that means we've had good food and we've made dirty dishes. So I'm not going to listen to the devil on that one. So I'm going to do it over and over and over, and I'm going to be happy about it. You know, it's just the way you think. You just got to think that way. And so you want to just put... So you just got to be... Think positive and keep your priority right. And, you know, this is what I like to do, say, in my kitchen. If I clean up my kitchen, and Jerry will ask you, I like to light me a candle when I'm all done. It's like my little reward. Get it all nice and pretty and light the candle. Now, it might not stay a clean kitchen for a long time, but at least for a little while, I got a candle going and it's all clean. It's my reward. And we can do this for ourselves in life. Give ourselves little rewards to make it happier. You know what I mean? Just, oh, I'm going to do this and it's gonna be better. It's going to help me. So, anyway, we can make life a lot easier for ourselves if we do these things. Mark 1 and 35, Jesus learned he had to get away and pray. So you remember, keep your priority on Jesus. Mark 1 and 35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day," this is Jesus, "he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And Simon, some of the disciples followed him. And he said, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, 'All men are seeking for thee.' And Jesus said, 'Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth.'" So just renew yourself, saints. I know time's getting away a little bit, but renew yourself. Make time to be alone with God and renew yourself like Jesus did. And it will bless your life. Mark 6 and 31 is another scripture here. 6 and 31. "And he said unto them, 'Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat.'" Now, I'm going to tell you another thing. Resting is not laziness. And I'm glad that I finally get a hold of that. Because a lot of people say, you know, you don't need no nap during the day. You don't need a little rest. Or maybe like some days I don't nap at all. But if you sit down in a chair and you fall asleep for half an hour and you need that rest, don't feel guilty about it. Jesus said, "Come apart and rest a while." And listen, your life will be so much better if you put the priority straight. If you put time with God, rest with God, and then do something, and just make the priority with God first and then do your work will go so much better. I found out in my life, and when I put Jesus first, those things I thought I had to get done, it went a whole lot better. And then also I've learned as I get older to make the right choices. Because sometimes as we're older, we can't do as much as we used to do. So the Lord will show you what you should do and what you can get done, and you'll feel happy. So we want to keep our priority with God. He said, "Come apart and rest a while. Go into your closet and pray. And the Lord will guide you, and he will help you." And I want to read this song to you. This is song, some of these verses here. It says, "My Savior first of all, when my life work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me." So, in other words, when you get to heaven, you're going to be looking for your priority was Christ. He saved my soul. That's how I got here. I'm going to be looking for him. It's just, this is some beautiful words here. Listen to this before I quit here. "Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face and the luster of his kindly beaming eyes. How my full heart will praise him for thy mercy, love, and grace that prepared me for a mansion in the skies. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. The sweet vales of Eden, they will sing my welcome home. But I long to see my Savior first of all." So just want to leave that with you today, is first of all. God is first. God is number one. And if we keep God number one, we'll have a happy life, and we'll make it to heaven. Pray for me. Thank you.